I'm Robert Evans, and this is not an episode of Behind the Bastards, but it's running in plugged in to Behind the Bastards. This is an episode of Katie and Cody and I talking about the second set of Democratic debates as a prelude for our election year podcast, which will be a fun weekly podcast about the worst year of all of our lives, and with a title vaguely similar to that. Yeah. So
title's still in flux, but it's going to be something like that.
It's going to be really good.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be better than the year.
It is going to be better than the year.
Damn sure.
Anyway, here's the podcast. I have been on a lot of planes.
Robert literally got off a plane and then drove to the office to drop off his stuff and then drove to my house. And I don't know when was the last time you slept. Well, other than my couch briefly.
The last time I had a full night's sleep was in Iraq. So it's been a minute.
Tasty.
I mean, I have so many questions about that, but that's not what we're here for tonight.
We're here to talk about
the debates.
Politics.
Politics. Yes.
Sweet.
The best kind
hot,
of politics.
Sexy, moist.
Ew.
Oily,
you had me.
Worse. Oh, you made
wiry,
it.
Gristle filled.
Well, I like
politics.
I'm okay with the word moist, but not when used in the sexual connotation. Like, I think moist is a perfectly wonderful word to use when talking about cake.
Mm. Yeah, cake, chicken.
Mm. Well, sure.
But I think chicken. In the context of the other words I was saying, we were all picturing kind of Joe Biden's waddle.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Was that what was in y'all's head?
Oh, yeah.
When you said moist?
I'm almost always thinking of Joe Biden's waddle.
No, it was when... yeah. Cody, you just got in last night.
It's true.
So you're also out of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
I've been around the longest. I've been back for a few days, but I'm also out of it. So this will be fun.
Ooh.
So just like the front runner of the Democratic Party, we have all been going for too long to properly do our jobs today.
Yeah. We haven't learned the lesson from times past when it proved to be a bad idea go too hard.
We should have taken Elizabeth Warren up on her offer to host the episode.
I know, I know.
That was a real, real mistake.
Step aside, let the new generation.
If we're lucky, she'll call in like she does with her donor calls. But let's talk about the debates, you guys. That's what we're here. That's the magic that we're here to discuss. Who did you come away from liking? Who surprised you? All of that.
I mean, Cory Booker had some great moments.
Honestly, truly.
Not a big Cory Booker fan, but he had some really solid. He's a good debater.
He surprised me tonight. I was really impressed with him all evening long. Loved what James Lee said about climate change.
I'm glad he's doing what he's doing.
I think if he wasn't there, they wouldn't have talked about climate change nearly enough.
No. Yeah.
In some cases, probably not at all.
I think of all of the people on that stage, he might be the only one doing like a kind of noble thing, which is just like, well, I'm just going to get up there and shout about how the planet's dying. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little more, a more focused Mike Gravel.
Yeah.
Like he knows that he's not winning. He's there to specifically talk about something and talk about it well.
And maybe just
and
swinging
hold,
for a position in the cabinet so he can actually do that work.
Hold people to task, you know, like, I would love to see him in the cabinet. Here's what I was frustrated by with the climate change conversations, and that would be the moderators. I mean, I guess I was frustrated with them throughout the whole thing, but specifically with climate change, this is important. And you're up there interrupting people halfway through how they're actually explaining what they're planning to do. It makes me crazy.
I think in 2023, before the next election, if there are more elections, we need to have an election to decide who's going to moderate the future fucking debates, because zero of the people they've brought forward to so far have been any good at it.
Not very good. Not very good.
No.
Really frustrating to watch in general.
It's not hard.
No.
Just ask them questions.
And then if you have to re-ask the question, which they did a few times.
Yeah, they followed up
But also
somewhat.
Like, I don't know, there were a few times, more so last night, I think tonight maybe, of like I keep thinking of this moment where someone said something specific about Elizabeth Warren. And she was like, she literally like raised her hand. Like she was in school. Like, I need to respond to that. That's not true. I need to respond. She kept saying that and they would not let her do it.
They did a couple times, but I agree with you completely. It's frustrating, especially since it takes like a good 15 minutes to even get the show started. And they always end 15 minutes early. So it's not really a 3-hour debate.
And
it's,
there's 22 people. Yeah.
They also go a lot to like they'll go to Yang.
Way too much. Maybe,
I think it's frustrating when they go to people like Yang and like even Inslee, and they give them like 15 seconds. They really like. You can tell that they have way less time to even respond or answer direct questions. That's frustrating, right? Too. Like, if you're going to have 20 people on stage, give them the time that they need, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do agree. Who else impressed you in a surprising way?
In a surprising way?
Well, okay. So let's talk about Marianne Williamson, maybe.
All right. Let's talk about
I mean,
Marianne
because... I mean, I tweeted about this. I don't think anybody thinks that I would vote for her. I do not consider her a serious candidate. Mm. I have great issues with things she's said and done in the past. But I did appreciate a lot of the stuff she said up there. The least important of which was her specifically saying, like, I'm starting to think that some of you people on stage aren't actually Democrats. And I was like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that was really important to say. I'm glad someone actually said that.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, no, I think it is. So that's, I liked that. But you guys have been talking about some of the conversation online about Marianne Williamson. So let's dig into that for a minute.
I mean, our conversation started with me saying I could see her winning.
Yeah.
Just because I couldn't see Trump winning and kind of looked at him with the same sort of mirth that I was initially looking at Marianne Williamson with. And I don't want to, I hope that doesn't happen. She's not like polling as well as he is, which you pointed out, Katie, but like.
Yeah, he polled really well early on.
She's reaching out for the same, like the mirror mirror images of the parts of the liberal psyche that Trump was reaching out, you know, of the conservative psyche. Like, on the right, it's like outright fascism that he was pulling from, and on the left, it's space woo or bullshit, right, which is like the left wing equivalent of the right's genocide.
Right. She's like she's got this populist
definitely
message,
especially when she ends with "I'm the only one that can bring
that
this
was
vision."
Not great. Yeah.
Constant cryptic references to healthcare.
Yeah,
where she's not saying what you know she thinks.
Yeah, there's
which
some
is that
vagueness
crystals
to
can
the way
do it.
She's talking about right, and just sort of positive thinking, and like there's, you know, something can be said for the value of positive thinking.
Not much,
but that's not why we're here, and not much. And from what I gather, most of her career, there is a grifting aspect to it.
Yeah,
and part of being a grifter is that some of the stuff you say is really true, which is why it resonates so much. And that's why sometimes during the debate last night, I was like, "Fuck yeah, yes,
yeah.
Marianne, yes,
well, right.
Say that."
She's
a good grifter,
but
because what she's saying is true. But then there's all the stuff around it that's like, "Well, you shouldn't be the president."
So when I watched, I pivot to her because we were talking about Jay Inslee, and like I kind of see her role on that stage as in a similar but very different, you know, things that she's talking about and different things. But because I don't take her seriously as a candidate, I just am like, appreciate somebody being up there and saying some stuff that you're like, yeah, well, someone needed to say it and no one else was.
Yeah.
She also talked
election,
about reparations.
Reparations, the election stuff.
The election
stuff.
That was
really great. And also
and lobbying.
Economic or environmental justice.
Environmental
she brought up. There are some things that she brought up that no one else was willing to bring up.
And so we're talking about the NRA and going back and forth about who has the worst standing with the NRA. And she says, like, yeah, that's well and good, but, you know, money in politics, money from corporations is like the disease of this country. Mm-hmm. And how many of these people on stage have been taking money from corporations?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, fuck, man. Yes, please. More of that kind of conversation right now. We need people to be thinking about that. Not that it's going to change right away, but like, say that on national TV.
If she didn't exist outside of the debates, she'd be in the upper 30% of candidates for me. If she didn't, if the rest of her life wasn't a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. There's also this sort of movement around her that sort of started out ironic and is sort of morphed into more genuine. Some of it is coming from, and I was talking about this earlier with you, and I still don't know exactly what my problem is with it, but there's a lot of conservative pundits and like these sort of trolly Republicans who are really into her. And it's partly ironic and it's partly genuine, but it's all horse shit. And part of it seems like they're just trying to lift her up so they can sort of destroy the Democratic Party in the same way that Trump did. And part of it's like her some of her message, I think, does resonate with them.
Yeah.
Because it's true, but ultimately they can't wait to vote for Donald Trump no matter what.
Right.
So I just it really bothers me that it's this mix of irony and earnestness and just really bullshit trolling. And it's going to happen more and more, and I want it to. It really bothers me.
It's mostly trolling.
It mostly is trolling, but it's there. And
I think the primary person she's going to cannibalize votes from is Andrew Yang, because I think there's kind of the same candidate, like different shades of the same candidate.
They're talking about the same kind of problems that like the deep rooted problems.
And like Andrew Yang, like a lot of his early support was like a mix of kids wanting to just be able to like play video games and live on $1,000 a month and thinking the name Yang was funny.
Yeah, right. Gang.
Yeah. Yang Gang. Perfect.
Yeah, there to go. Like,
I'm on board.
Yeah. Marianne and her Orb Core.
Yeah, Orb Core. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, but like what scares me about the ironic following is that it has become real before, which is why we have the president we have.
And it's important to acknowledge it now.
All she has to do is stay this good at the grift for 6 to 7 months, and it's theoretically possible that she could pick up enough of a head of steam that there would be a point of no return at which we all find ourselves in the situation that, like, the few sane Republicans found themselves in 2016 of going like, oh, my God, we can't stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she hasn't picked up.
I don't think
the votes yet.
I
doubt it's. I just am so worried after 2016 that I won't say it's impossible.
Yeah, I see a lot of that, and I don't think there's a need to worry. I think it's good to have her there to say the things she's saying, because maybe some of the more legitimate candidates will pick it up and be like, oh, actually, oh yeah, she's right. I think that too now, but like. Trump definitely was polling way better, was way more popular beforehand. Yeah. And that field, if you think about the Republican field in 2016, 2015, it was pretty abysmal. Like, the other person was Ted Cruz.
Sure.
And they're actually, like, viable
Don't
candidates.
Don't forget Jeb.
I have not forgotten Jeb.
None of us have forgotten Jeb. We were frequently comparing candidates on stage to Jeb this evening.
We will never forget Jeb.
Never
there are a lot of
forget.
Jebs up there.
There's a lot of Jebs. There's Hickenlooper Jeb.
Mm.
Delaney Jeb.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Bennett, the guy whose name I forget every time.
The other guy that's not Michael Bennett.
Already forgot it.
That's
nope.
not.
Ugh, nope.
Yeah, the guy.
I don't
got
it.
You know the guy.
There were too many white people last night to keep track of.
Good thing Inslee put his glasses on.
He put those glasses on to distinguish himself from all the other white men.
But aside from them, there are actual candidates up there that people gravitate towards. Way more than they would accidentally, sort of, because they're real, you know?
All right, well, I want to say right now my most important takeaway from the night, which is my realization that both Inslee and Andrew Yang have the same rough silhouette of a human-shaped thumb. They're both shaped like thumbs. They're both thumb men.
Incredibly important. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being brave enough to
thank you.
Share that with us.
Thank you for praising my bravery.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be in the archives of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is for posterity, y'all. I want to talk about some more about CNN, but specifically... So last night, obviously, it was a gang up on Biden. But that was mostly...
Tonight it was
that's what I mean. And that was mostly generated from people on stage coming not to fuck around.
Yeah,
but last night, so many of the questions that came to the candidates were attacking Bernie.
The moderators.
They were like... Elizabeth Warren, you're a capitalist. Does that make you a safer choice than Bernie? Mm. Or like, do you think that America's ready for, do you think that the idea of socialism makes people afraid of Sanders? You know, what do you think about Sanders' plan to go to all electric cars? And even tonight there were questions about Sanders. And that made me so angry.
Katie's a Bernie bro now, everybody.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's happened.
Like how... one-sided the aggression from the moderators was last
night. It was wild.
It was like, they really were just like going after Bernie. They were trying to get everyone to shit talk him.
Yeah.
I'm glad people didn't seem to take the bait because it's
not really
super dangerous at this stage to alienate Bernie Sanders' support.
And they still like you know, disagreed and there were some scuffles, but like the framing was really frustrating. Katie, I saw your tweet last night about it, and I was like, oh man, even Katie's like really pissed about this, which like it's so blatant, the bias there and the way they're framing the questions, and that they just do not want him to be the president. A little bit Warren too, but I think they feel like she's a little safer and will.
Well, they straight up said that in the question.
Right, exactly.
It's like
they're like,
the
if
thing
we
is,
gotta do one, I guess it'll have to be her.
They're picking questions that are shaping the narrative, like shaping how people mm-hmm. are perceiving the candidates. Yeah,
and they know it.
And know it was wild how she's been. Yeah, and they seem straight up irritated and combative with
they're all
the candidates.
Millionaires. Everyone asking the questions in every one of these debates is a millionaire.
Millionaires funded by billionaires? Perhaps?
Yeah, it's that. See, this is one of the things that I think is maybe awry with the situation. Like, I wonder if maybe we would have no problems with moderators if they just picked a bunch of like crusty middle class political journalists mm-hmm. who've been like fucking slinging shit in the DC press corps for the last 10 years and like had them just get them like moderately drunk and then wired on speed and let them ask whatever questions come to mind for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's the idea that they're just like, yeah, you guys can do it. You'll ask all the questions that are going to shape the nation and affect
and,
everybody.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk about this online. I was thinking about it last night. I mean, even I think it was Warren started calling it out last night, was how a lot of these questions were basically Republican talking points. And it really felt, and I know that last night was supposed to be the liberal stage when, because you had, you know, Warren Bernie there.
Warren and Sanders.
But
they
were surrounded by a bunch of people that were being pulled even further to the right with them on stage. And it was very transparent that we've got these two very different parties up there on stage. And
even the ads for it.
Even like the ads.
The moderates go after the...
Yeah, it was just really... it felt very, very blatant in a way that it hadn't been before. But yes, this idea that like they are throwing conservative talking points. They're like kind of doing the work for people. Yeah. Like
Some of that's the Democratic Party.
Some of that, yes. Yeah.
And some of it doesn't bother me.
I don't mean all of them, but just every so often, like the way they're framing this question is leading into a different kind of narrative.
I think tonight, so many of the people on stage used the phrase Republican talking point. That's very frustrating. Yeah.
But that's because they got it from last night.
They got it from, because Elizabeth Warren mentioned it.
Because that was one
it.
Of the big applause lines last night.
And it was a very pointed, specific example. And it made sense in the context of the conversation. And then it caught on, and then everyone said it tonight. There are some arguments that were made a lot last night, too, that were like, that's just something you would hear on a panel from Fox News.
Right.
Like, there was one of the guys, again, I can't remember his name, was like, why would you say you're going to pay for, you know, illegal immigrants' health care when there are people struggling to pay for their own? It's like, well, it's Medicare for all. They won't be struggling for their own. Like, the framing of that is so on its face ridiculous and nonsense. You'd hear it on, like, a Fox News panel.
Yep.
But there's some times when people are like, oh, the Republican talking points. That's a Republican talking point. It's okay to ask questions in that way because they're going to have to.
Sure.
Like, they're going to be facing Donald Trump. Yes. They're going to be facing, like, people on Fox News. Like, they're – it's okay sometimes to phrase questions in that way to see how they would handle it.
I completely agree. Yeah, that was like, the next thing I
– Okay, yeah. And I think using it tonight was, like, a little too much. Like, don't ask me a question.
Yeah.
That's a Republican talking point.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear that.
Yeah, I think that – whenever you do a debate like this, though, where you're splitting it up into two nights, the second night is always even if unconsciously, going to be a response to the first night.
Absolutely.
And I think we've seen that with both debates.
Yeah.
Like, the first night, you get a more genuine discussion of the issues, which this was not as much of a genuine.
No, this... This was an attack show tonight.
Oh, yeah. I did love all of the Joe Biden throwdown.
We can talk about some of that. What were your best Biden throwdown moments? I mean, there's lots of other stuff I want to talk to that is more important.
Saying,
but
go easy on me at the beginning.
Yeah, that was sad.
He's like, Joe, you've been in this game, 50 years?
Yeah.
You know that's not how it works.
Right. Come on, you can't. That's not.
I think that my favorite was Castro's. Some of us learn from the past moment or whatever.
That was really
that
good.
Was real good.
That was really good.
It was a good, I thought this isn't an attack on Joe. I mean, it is, but it's not someone attacking him. But like the bookends of the very beginning, him saying, go easy on me. Yeah. And then the last thing he says is, if you support me, go to Joe30330, which is not a website. He meant to say text Joe.
Yeah.
He left out the text.
Say text but also, join.
But also, it's supposed to be join. And they just changed it to Joe with a tweet, but it's supposed to be join.
I think it's just very funny.
Like, the first thing he says is go easy on me. And the last thing he says is just he's not going easy on himself.
I mean, we were talking about this earlier. I felt bad for him in the way that, like, yes, when you're watching The Office, you cringe and you feel bad for the person on up there, because he was, I mean, he definitely had more like energy, I would say, than the last. But he was.
He and Kamala switched energy.
It wasn't cogent energy.
But he was stuttering. He was all over the place. He was not responding. He was being, I mean, watching the debate, I felt like his debate prep, with a lot of him coming in and smiling and wasting time talking to his staffers and then being like, don't worry, guys, I got it. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I've been doing this for 30 years, you know?
Yeah, I've lost many presidential elections.
His, I really wish if I'd been a little bit more cogent, I would have taken down a couple of his answers and tried to diagram the actual sentences he spoke. Because they were almost always not quite nonsense, but like not sentences,
right?
Like not complete thoughts coming out of his head,
yeah.
Like to the point where it was concerning to me,
Right, like is he doing you listen, you like get it, but like they're not.
I get what you're trying to say.
If you read it, you'd
Joe,
be like,
you didn't
wait, what?
Properly say
he
it.
He does not have a poker face. Whenever somebody starts to talk to him in a way that was aggressive, you could just see his face fall. It was so sad.
He's gotten so used to being respected. Because no one thought he was going to run again.
I know.
So everybody was like, okay,
we can bear with him.
To like him.
Right. Yeah.
But it was like, I always felt like his heart was breaking just a little bit every time someone started to beat him up. I'm laughing about it.
He fucking run for president.
The other...
People like him, though. People still like him. Still polling really well.
Yeah, he's still polling very well.
It's unbearable. The other moment, I really liked the, Gabbard and Kamala. When Gabbard was calling Kamala out on her record, which was really important. That was really bold. That was an important thing that needed to be talked about. Kamala just sidestepped that.
Yeah,
she only talked about,
she did not
respond in any capacity. She had two opportunities and she did not, which should be enough to confirm that it's all true.
Right, yeah.
know?
Yeah, if you can't directly address it, then there's a reason.
You guys, if you missed that, rewatch it.
Tulsi Gabbard tearing into Kamala's terrible record as a prosecutor was a pretty sweet moment.
Do you know much about it, her background?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, just she was the there was a lot of ugly stuff around like trans people and like not allowing people to transition and stuff, and
using prison labor.
Yeah, using prison labor.
Holding imprisoning parents for kids.
Truancy.
Being
I
think that she specifically brought up tonight how she like blocked some evidence that would have saved a person from death row.
Yeah, she was a really ugly like. California is a state with a fucked up judicial system.
Yeah.
Because there's 40 million people here. And she didn't make it less fucked up.
So anyway, I mean, I'm not a Tulsi Gabbard fan.
No, she's a monster.
But
you wanna go
really appreciated that. Yeah, please elaborate.
She took a trip to Syria paid for by essentially a fascist an actual fascist organization that was allied with the Assad regime and met with Bashar al-Assad, the greatest mass murderer of our time, and then later in interviews refused to call him a war criminal after his many war crimes. And she visited after he had gassed. She like sat down with this guy after he'd gassed thousands and thousands and thousands of people to death. She has some weird, like, Hindu nationalist fascist views of her own, and, like, she played it well when she was, like, attacked for, like, the anti-gay stuff in the first debate.
Yeah,
like,
the whole,
you know,
really
I grew up and stuff, but, like, she came from a pretty gross, evil cult background, and she has not dissociated herself fully from it in her actual life.
Okay.
There's some very concerning things about Tulsi Gabbard's background and beliefs, not the least of which is the fact that she was willing to let a fascist group take her to go hang with Bashar al-Assad.
A war criminal.
I mean, I don't want to tell you guys what to do, but don't vote for her.
Yeah, I'm not a big not a big Tulsi Gabbard fan, but she kind of nailed hitting Kamala Harris.
Yeah, no, she did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think no one else was willing, or
no one was going to go anywhere
enough,
near
I
that.
Don't know. Yeah, they didn't want to. They didn't want to touch that. But someone had to.
Yeah, it was a real one of those Onion article, like the worst person you know just made a great point.
I'm waiting for different, not matchups, but like fewer people, so more people can have conversations. Like, that was great. I would like to see Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden talk to each other.
That's all I want. I was
so bad.
Mad. Although Joe Biden didn't need anybody else ganging up on him tonight.
That is true.
Joe Biden got pantsed like a fucking, yeah.
But I did really like, I thought, even though it was definitely framed by CNN terribly because CNN sucks, of like the progressives defend their from the moderates and all that kind of garbage. But it was very cool to see Bernie and Elizabeth Warren up there together doing that.
Like, and they weren't throwing each other under the bus.
They really weren't.
No, they were backing each other up pretty well.
There are a few moments where you can see them stare at each other and get like exchange looks like, can you believe these people? Mm-hmm. And like, it was clear that they had each other's backs.
And gracefully responding. So like at one point, I can't think of this specific example, but you know, a question to Elizabeth about like, well, what about this element of Bernie's plan? And her being like, no, that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. This is what I voted for. I mean, she still made it about her, but like making it clear that like, no, we're on the same side here.
Yeah.
And like, you're wrong. You're misinterpreting what we were saying.
That's a lot of good stuff.
I want to talk about immigration stuff.
I love immigration
you
stuff.
You love immigration stuff because that's a big topic in our country, in the debate.
Democratic candidates don't love immigration.
And a lot of the Democratic candidates don't love immigration.
Joe Biden wants to cherry pick races.
It's so
breezed by, and I was like, wait, did he just say we cherry pick like different cultures?
That's what makes us strong, Cody.
Unbelievable.
Is our racial cherry picking?
That was bonkers. And like,
anyone with a PhD gets an automatic green card.
I am so frustrated and appalled by the amount of people on that stage that just said we need a new president in office, and that'll fix the kids in cages. Like, no, you're missing the entire point. You are not that stupid. The point of decriminalizing immigration or illegal immigration isn't a specific. Yes, it's about getting kids out of cages. Yes, it's about allowing people to come here seeking asylum. But it's about protecting their human rights.
I think,
and full stop.
And humanity in general.
And Castro did a great job talking about it. And also, again, and he did it last time, hammering home that. Going that it's about sending aid, it's about creating programs that help make the countries that they're leaving safer and more
and
productive.
Are the only ones that really talk about
Castro did.
Biden really hit that one. Like, his credit, Biden repeatedly mentioned giving money to these countries.
He said that we did give. He was defending himself. We gave a lot of money, but like, also, I don't. Like, that's great. I want to know how that money is spent. It's not just about, because we look at Puerto Rico. Obviously, that's a part of our country, technically, although they can't vote for president. They don't have representation. But giving money, and like then it's mismanaged within that local government. So it's not just about that, unfortunately, in my perspective. And I'm hoping that's not too naive. But like, I need to hear people saying more specific. So him saying, we did a good job, we gave them money, actually doesn't cut it for me.
No, it doesn't cut it. But I'm glad that I'm glad that even from Biden, the framing of we owe these countries
recognizing
something
that.
Like that's a positive step.
I do agree with that.
But
that was like when I was watching, that was
the idea. The idea that like, well, there'll just be a new president.
And
no one's like, but what if, but who after that? Who's the president after that? What would they do?
That whole section of the debate where like everyone was trying to explain to Joe Biden why that was a bad idea. I mentioned during, reminded me of like arguments I've had with elderly family members at like Thanksgiving, where like all of the kids will try to be explaining something like marijuana or why a reform that all, every young person is behind like is a good idea, to like an elderly uncle being like, but what about this poorly thought out point? But what about this? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no. Just do this, then, yeah. I mentioned this during the debate. I don't know if anyone ever touched on it, but like, has anyone said that they will not only like legalize marijuana, but also release everyone that's in prison for it?
Nobody said release everyone that's, there was a lot of talk about legalizing marijuana.
Yeah.
Today.
But
nobody
not,
was like,
in addition to that, like the people that are, that have been fucked over in their life for this. Okay. No. Waiting for that. It'll happen.
Yeah, waiting for someone, that. Maybe someone will say Beto that. Will ride in on a skateboard and say,
hey, oh, I was about, you're all free.
I was about to say, we haven't mentioned Beto once.
I think we're all very close to being done with Beto forever.
Just I already am.
Bro, like, my God.
At this point, I don't even want that. But yeah, sure, run for Senate. Maybe you'll win.
I think he'd win against
lost
Corbin.
That chance.
He might have lost it by now.
Yeah, just because his campaign was so bad, and it exposed him as so
weak,
such a callow youth.
Yeah. I mean, I truly, well, not truly, but part of me was like, ooh, I hope he uses his closing statement to exit the race. Yeah.
I was
like, I could just see that happening right now.
Similarly, I'm waiting for anyone on stage, because like obviously a lot of people that are up there are like, I'm just here for like, maybe I'll get a cabinet position. Yeah. I'll probably write a book next year about this whole thing.
Yeah, Marianne Williams.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's what she's doing.
But like, waiting for someone to be like, if I'm elected, I will abolish the presidency.
Yeah.
Like, in the context of that conversation, it was like, well, if the president changes, then everything will be good. It's like, well, no, maybe we just shouldn't have that.
Sure. You know I weren't they debating having three presidents or something when the founding fathers were framing the Constitution?
Yeah. I think that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Too bad that didn't happen.
And they also suggested like rewriting the Constitution every 17 years. So
No, Cody, don't you know everything they wrote back then is the way it has to be forever.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
That's what our founding fathers envisioned when they created a system that specifically included ways to alter the Constitution.
Yeah, they were hella psychic.
Yeah.
The things that I know about time, the world stays the same, and so the rules should stay the same.
And the thing that I know about the founding fathers is that they all agreed 100% on everything that they did.
They agreed on everything. They didn't have any really, bad ideas.
They were all really good people.
All
too.
Really good people with the same attitudes towards the rights of human beings and who counted as a human being.
Yeah, I love that about them.
I love that.
I like how the best idea for a government was thought up a few hundred years ago.
Mm-hmm. Was thought
and
up,
that's it.
That's it. We're done.
It. Was thought up by people who didn't know how to make sure the water they drank didn't make them poop themselves to death. And who statistically, a significant amount of these guys died from pooping themselves to death. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Probably at least like a third of our founding. Yeah.
There were a lot of dumb questions in both nights. And
Bernie thinks this. Why is that insane and evil?
Yeah. I jotted down tonight, I don't know why, in hindsight maybe it's not as dumb, but I rolled my eyes. It's like, who's the best candidate to heal the racial divide in America? Because I don't think that a single candidate can do that. It just was such an inane, like, let's actually talk about something more specific than something broad-reaching.
Yeah.
How are you going to fix it all?
How are you going to fix 250 years of institutionalized racism?
And
although I think Marianne has the best discussion of that topic.
Yeah,
she talks about that really well.
Reparations being talked
about. Yeah, that's what...
And the environmental justice, I think, are like...
Because my next question was like, this is dumb, but who do you guys think?
I liked how Gillibrand was like... So
she was, I'm an intersectional feminist.
I'm not gonna, you know, I don't think like, you know, Senator Booker and Harris that like they should have the responsibility to do this. If I'm elected president, I'll explain to all the white women why they have privilege. It's like,
I was like,
but aren't you saying that you should do it because you're white?
Well, she's saying says that she doesn't
really,
want,
like,
well, what she was actually saying. I mean, yeah, that is what she's saying. She's being intersectional. She's saying like, white women, it's our job to like, also be these ambassadors. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I get it. But like, just it seemed like framed like, I'll do it, guys. Yeah. I'll talk to him.
He's like, I got this, y'all.
Gillibrand clearly had two or three really good answers prepared that she was really comfortable with and that she delivered well. And everything else, even if the meat of what she was saying was good, was very awkward. I think just because she's not a good think on her feet debater.
She wavers.
She's not like Cory Booker, I don't think, had everything charted out ahead of time. I think he's just got one of those kind of brains.
Yeah, he's very good on his feet. He's really...
Cory Booker really impressed me tonight. Yeah.
Not
Kamala,
so much tonight. I
Kamala was very low energy tonight.
She seemed very, very
I think she might have been
tired.
Sick.
Low energy Harris.
Low energy Harris and sleepy sleepy Michael Bennett. He did look sleepy.
What the fuck? Why is Michael Bennett there?
So who can we lose? I want to spend a hot second talking about Steve Bullock, because who the...
That's the guy, that's the guy I was thinking of. I was trying to think of his name.
Is
thank
the
you.
Young,
yeah, that's the fourth
that's the
Jeb.
That's the fourth Jeb.
He is... No, he is... young Bradley Whitford in Get Out.
Oh, God.
Like, there's something, everything about him, the way he talks, he's got his eyebrows.
Yeah, a quarter.
Guys, he's new.
He's
right?
new. He made the fundraising
he's
goal this time.
He's super corny.
He was so bad.
A full quarter of the candidates in these two nights were Jeb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a stage full of Jebs.
He was more entertaining than Jeb, but only because he's so laughable. He looks like, I can see him in the 80s. I can see him being that little punk in his polo.
See, his face
is... I already forgot his name.
Steve Bullock?
Steve Bullock.
His face is Bullock and Bennett.
That's why. Yeah.
Bullock, it sounds like a fucking cop drama that would have gotten canceled 9 episodes in.
And we haven't talked about Warren at all.
Here's the thing about... All right.
Show me his picture, because I have forgotten that motherfucker's face.
Oh, which one? To it, and then I wanna...
Bullock.
Okay.
Bennett, well, I remember... Bullock. Oh, that's Bullock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bennett's the one who looks like a Charles Schultz drawing.
Yeah,
he looks like Bennett.
Like this.
Bennett looks like
he just got back from Kennebunkport.
Bennett looks like Charlie Brown all grown up.
He's sadder.
His yacht shoes.
It looks like Charlie Brown, who never got over Snoopy's death and hasn't been able to pet another dog since.
Snoopy died?
Well, yeah, Katie.
All dogs go to heaven, of course.
Yes, of course. We could lose the Jebs. I wouldn't want to lose Inslee, which I think
I know.
I
I'm
think,
not.
I think he's. He was sort of lumped in with the Jebs at first, which I get.
No, but I think he has a legitimately noble mission of just shouting at about climate change to America.
And like, he's actually like, he's engaging to listen to. Like,
he's a good speaker.
I wouldn't put him in the class of Jeb for many reasons.
Had
actually
some good stuff to say about white nationalism and the threats therein, which, as the governor of Washington, he fucking ought
to. He should probably be a little familiar with that.
Mike Gravel got enough donors to be on the stage.
I believe he did.
What happened?
CNN happened.
Oh, I was going to say like a bottle of rum happened.
But also possible.
Mike That's Gravel fair. Just didn't pick up.
Mike Gravel just like drinking with the Gravel teens.
Yeah. Like, I know it wouldn't be a cell phone ringing. It would be an old school pager sitting on the side of a desk buzzing until it fell into the trash.
That's how he tweets. By pager.
I just
paging the Pentagon Papers.
I was like, we didn't quite finish. I want to just bring up real quick something that I about civil rights stuff. That Biden's whole defense of his civil rights record was basically like, well, Obama hired me, and Obama was black.
It was literally,
so
I have a black friend, and he's the president.
It was shocking. I was like, that's what you have to say, bro?
It's amazing, yeah.
So maybe he is the one that's best suited to heal our racial divide.
Yeah, that clearly that I have a black friend. Didn't someone say, like, Biden, why do you always take credit for the Obama things but then reject the bad, like, the Obama things you don't like?
Yeah.
Someone said that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you said it as something that you read online.
Did Bullock say he wasn't there tonight? It's not Bullock.
No, it wasn't Bullock. I believe
it was one of the other Jebs.
It might have been... My gut is saying Cory Booker said it, but I don't know if that's true.
It was Cory Booker. I'm almost positive.
My gut is so smart.
Way to go, Cory.
We haven't talked at all about Elizabeth Warren tonight.
We also haven't talked about Cory Booker's brother, Cary Booker.
Weird looking.
Okay, now I've got to Google Cary Booker.
He just
Booker.
Looks like a photo negative of his brother, yeah. And it's unsettling.
Is he running for president?
No.
No, no, no.
Okay.
I just think it's
just
oh,
their
weird.
Names, I think, are just very funny. Similar.
Oh, that's to me like, what is it? Steph Curry and Steph Curry. No, like Steph Curry's brother has the same name as him.
Sorry, but yeah, Elizabeth Warren.
But let's talk about Elizabeth Warren. She did great.
She did do great.
Yeah, she did great. She always does great, you guys.
She's very earnest and cogent like, and good
you
answers.
Visibly melted. Yeah.
She's also so good seeming.
Katie is swooning right now.
Her and Bernie just like I can, saying things that were accurate.
I mean, that's
yeah,
nice. Like,
that was so nice to see.
I know people are like worried about like, oh, if you go too far left and the moderates, the independents. I really like a Sanders
Warren or Warren
Sanders
elected a
ticket
fucking
be, yeah
fascist a like fascist are you going to tell me like, we yeah. can't elect Elizabeth Warren
yeah.
who in any sane country would be like a slightly left of center
yes
yeah
yeah no it's nonsense and the way it's framed is very very frustrating but they're just so good together. They're
yeah.
Really, it's really, really,
I
really
want to see
them
run a presidential campaign, and I don't care who's
do you
VP
think
and who's VP.
Bernie would be VP?
I think Bernie would definitely choose her as his VP.
Yeah.
I don't know if Elizabeth Warren would pick him. I think she would probably be pressured by the Democratic Party to pick somebody else.
Because I want Warren, not Bernie.
I know.
I'm fine either way. As long
I'd
as,
be fine either way.
As long as one of them is the presidential nominee. Like, I don't know. I'd be fine with Castro as a presidential nominee and fucking Sanders or Warren as his VP, too. Like, maybe that's the smarter play.
I don't know. For me, it would be I could see Castro being VP. I don't see him as president.
I think he might be a fucking hell of a barnstormer. I don't know that he's gotten the chance to like do that yet.
Yeah.
But I think he might have the potential to run that kind of a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's more of a moderate, I don't know. Like that's not my suggestion or hope, but I could see him being a really solid presidential candidate.
I get behind Castro for sure.
He
does speak well. And again, I said this to you guys earlier. I don't want to vote for her. I don't want Kamala to be the president. Obviously, I'd vote for her if she was. But I do...
Yeah, you really don't want her.
I do think it'd be so fun to see her prosecute Donald Trump on a debate stage.
I just want to see her shouting at him at a bus station when they're both, like, trapped on a
15-minute
trip downtown. And somebody films it on a cell phone. Like,
Absolutely. That's
what I want.
Or I guess get someone in there that brings him in front of Congress so she can question him in that forum.
Yeah. Right,
because
that's what you want to see. You want to see the impeachment stuff.
Yeah, but I don't want to see her stopped after 3 minutes. I want to see her be allowed to do it.
Very good at a job that I wish didn't exist.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And it shouldn't be the president.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That shouldn't be the pipeline, the prosecutor to president pipeline.
Well, are there any other, what other things that you guys, did you want to talk about? Your takeaways from the last couple nights.
Which one is Klobuchar?
She's the one that either looks like your mom's friend who's trying to be cool, but you didn't really want to be around, or like maybe your freshman English teacher.
See, Gillibrand
short brown
meets
hair.
That description too.
She's a little too young to me. Yeah, Gillibrand does meet
she
that description,
me of
but
my English teachers.
She reminds me of a senior AP English teacher.
You're right. She is the person who would like walk you through the Scarlet Letter.
And then when you don't turn something in on time, she'd be like, "I'm just so disappointed in you."
And you'd feel bad.
And you would feel
but also,
so bad.
You still wouldn't read Nathaniel Hawthorne.
No, you wouldn't. And then you see her over summer at like a liquor store and you're like, fuck, that's so sad.
And she's just buying one enormous bottle of vodka.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say like rosé, but sure, vodka.
Yeah. No, I think she's the hard drinking kind of English teacher.
A bottle of rosé, a bottle of vodka, you pour it in a cup, and then you have a night.
Put it in the coconut and mix
just
it all
sitting,
up.
Like, sitting
summer,
there watching
baby.
That famous song, get the rosé and your
and
vodka.
Now you know it was written about Kristen Gillibrand, presidential nominee.
Yeah, real quick, just speak. We're mentioning teachers. We're talking about teachers, and I don't want to pass this by because she said it in passing during the debate. Elizabeth Warren was talking about how she always wanted to be a teacher, and I just want only teachers and nurses to be
yeah
like,
yes
to lead the country, like.
teachers, nurses, and ER doctors.
Yeah, they're just, and like, I think
a lot of ER doctors have a drug problem.
That's fine. FDR was drunk the whole of World War II.
Mm. Well. she obviously worked with like special needs kids and stuff, but I just want teachers to run for president and to be president, and
teachers that are listening.
It's one of the reasons I really, really like her, is because she has that vibe and she has that drive, and that's where a lot of her
also
a lot of her compassion comes from, and a lot of
also her effectiveness, because teachers know how to explain things.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
and
exactly.
So she can like make a case and like
and
make
she's
things
very good
clear.
At that.
They know how to explain things, and they habitually look at things from other people's perspective, not because they consider every perspective equally valid, but because they're trying to understand where those people are coming from in order to influence.
And
which
how to
means
bring them in.
They know how to listen.
Yeah, which
and to
means
actually
to listen.
Listen.
Right. Yeah. And I think she's using those skills really well. And I just had another thought that is gone. It's lost. I've had too much rosé.
Oh, we haven't talked about Buttigieg.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about him.
He had a good moment, but I forgot what it was because I haven't slept in days.
Mm.
It wasn't the one where he said, "You want a combat veteran grilling Donald
Trump
on white." It's like,
you
what a jig. Like, come on,
there
man.
There were a few moments like that from a bunch of different candidates who were like, if you nominate me, I can say this to Donald Trump on the debate stage.
It's like
anyone can say that to him. You don't need to be
like it's
a thousand people a day on Twitter say that to him.
Right.
And it's never made a difference.
It's like everybody's like, I need to have that came with one prepared soundbite of what they would say to Donald Trump, just to remind everybody that we're not Donald Trump. We know that.
Yeah. The Elizabeth Warren thing. She also values children so much. And like it's why one of her main things is like the child care and like guaranteed child care and pre-K and all that stuff. And it's the kind of thing where it's like any of course, if you treat every child equally and give every single child the opportunity that they need to thrive, then your society in general will be so much better a few years later because of what you've done for every single child. And she understands that, and I love her for it.
Yes.
But anyway, Pete.
You know what? Actually, this I just remembered the worst answer, I think, of the debates was actually one of Castro's. And because he's a smooth talker, it kind of slid past and no one hit him on it. But it was when he was talking about Flint. And he was like, when I was the director of Health and Human Services, when I was the director of HUD.
I was out of the room for this one.
We dealt with that. And then he kind of pivots to the fact that, like, it's still not dealt with. Yeah. But, like, he didn't direct, like, he was like, that was on you.
Right. Well, no,
and
it's so
still a problem.
Because he was like, and then I was also there 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, and was it good?
Was it any better?
Did it work?
Why don't you fill in the blanks? What did you do?
What happened there?
There's a lot of glossing over.
He's very smooth, but it was also like, you really are someone I should be angry at over that.
Right. Last night, the question about Flint was that it's still a problem.
Yeah, is that it's still fucked up and you didn't do your job, Julian.
Mm.
It's frustrating how many people sidestepped questions and just dodged it, and there was no follow-up.
And the moderators,
never press anybody. Yeah.
Ever so often, they would press somebody on something.
But again, the moderators aren't journalists.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want people that you can get an answer and be like, well, actually, as a journalist, I'm aware that you're lying or like that you're not including the full context or something.
Everybody should have like a big, long half hour chunk of time with a journalist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the journalist should get to throw two tomatoes per hour.
Mm-hmm. Like the hard green ones?
Just
every time they lie? Or
Joe Biden, whenever they choose.
That'd be so satisfying.
Politics would be so much better. Buttigieg. We have to, he's a contender.
Yeah.
He's a contender in a way. I think that he's going to end up governor
I think
whatever.
That the three of us are not particularly enthralled by him. I guess the reason I keep bringing him up is that I have a couple of friends who are not normally very politically engaged who find him incredibly charismatic and inspiring. And I don't get that either.
Yeah.
But I know that he has had an impact on some people and that his rhetoric is appreciated by them.
Yeah.
I
don't connect with that, but I do get it.
Yeah, I don't have strong feelings about the guy one way or the other.
I think he seems lovely that I'd love to have him as a friend.
Yeah.
But he's not quite my politics.
Yeah.
I guess the vibe I get.
He's a great mayor.
Yeah.
Also, mayor is kind of a low-rung job.
It is wild to jump from that.
Governor makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
I... can't remember what it was. He did have a couple moments last night that were good, but I can't remember what they were specifically. Yeah. You'd think that I'd have written it down, but I didn't. I believe he again was confronted with talking about, you know, racial issues.
Yeah,
and
he talks
police,
about cops and stuff.
And cops
it's not
and things like that.
No. He's not great at actually like addressing it. Yeah. Not even just head on, but in general at all. He sort of sidesteps it a lot. And it's like, you know, we got problems. And
yeah.
Well, that reminds me to talk about de Blasio in that moment.
Ooh. That
fucking de Blasio.
That, the protesters
yeah.
chanting.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
were they chanting? I heard that,
well,
like,
so
deportation
during,
or something.
During Biden, I believe they were chanting the, like, 3 million deportations.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah,
is what
yeah,
they were
yeah.
chanting for Biden. For de Blasio, and also Booker for some reason, was a Fire Pantaleo.
Yeah, they started chanting
the,
that during.
The cop who killed Eric Garner.
But they started yeah. chanting that during Booker's.
The first time you could hear it faintly was de Blasio,
okay.
and then they really went whole hog for Booker for some reason.
But then, when
also
they eventually...
Jake Tapper kept saying Eric Garner.
I know,
which really bothered me.
Yeah,
you're like you've
really...
got to have that name written in front of you, man.
And
like, a city burned because of
my
that
God,
man
like, Jesus.
Like how can you not have that down?
Yeah,
a couple of times.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
But what was de Blasio's response to that? It was basically like, oh, it's the Justice Department.
Said the federal Justice Department got in his way or like was slowing it down.
He didn't answer.
Why isn't
and
he
nobody
fired?
Pressed him on
but
it.
But I believe it was Gillibrand who said, I would have fired that cop.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah, straightforward. Those are usually the best answers. Like mm-hmm. even when, to Joe Biden's credit, I forget what the exact question was. If it was Inslee, I think, asking about it. And then Joe was like, yes. And then,
yeah.
then they're like,
yeah.
do you
oh,
want
yeah,
to
it was,
question?
It was about
like, I did,
getting,
yes.
Yeah, it was about getting rid of stopping the use of coal.
And those
great.
Usually the best
those
answers,
are the, and,
yeah,
like, and that's
like,
what I
yes.
love about Inslee being up there. He just made Joe Biden commit
mm-hmm.
on stage
yeah.
in front of everybody
yeah.
that's something he would do.
Yeah, I think
Dope.
Inslee like justified his run for president with like
for sure.
yeah, with that moment, if nothing else. Yeah.
Who do you want to see gone before the next debate?
Oh, Williamson, Yang.
Yeah.
I don't need the Jebs.
Beto.
Yeah, we can get rid of all
Bullock.
The Jebs.
I don't mind. So, like, I don't know. It's frustrating because, like, the Williamsons and, like, Yang, the things they're talking about, I think, are issues that are important to talk about. And if they're not there, no one is.
I think we've gotten all we can get out of them.
Yeah, that's
probably,
the other.
And anything else
the other
would
end
just
of it.
Be toxicity.
And then it's like, okay, at this point, we're risking getting into something dangerous
yeah.
happening.
We're going to get the political equivalent of toxic shock syndrome if we let them sit there any
So, like,
longer.
Here's a pitch, though. So, like, these are people who I'm like, every time you speak, you're saying something that's important that people mm-hmm. need to hear. So what if they moderate one of the debates instead?
That's a cool idea.
Who moderates?
If the people that aren't in the
yeah.
race anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So like
yeah.
Williamson will be a moderator and Yang will be a moderator and they can bring up these topics that are important and sort of engage with the like the candidates.
I'm imagining Williamson grilling Joe Biden on the medicinal uses of crystals. I really
Ooh.
Like that image.
Oh, God, that'd be so great for everybody.
What a wholesome time that would be.
What a bad time for him that would be.
So we've qualified a number of candidates as Jebs.
Yeah.
And I think we're all in agreement that Beto is not a Jeb, but mm-hmm. is on the hierarchy of candidates. Is Beto above a Jeb or below a Jeb based on his inherent worth as a candidate? Do we in our heads qualify him as above sub Jeb or
I think he's,
super
I Jeb? Think he's sub Jeb.
I think he's sub Jeb.
I think
too.
He's sub Jeb.
I think
he's, yeah,
sub
I think
Jeb.
He's worse than a Jeb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not even worth
I'm so
not even a Jeb.
I'm so thrilled that we all agree on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That there's not even any tension here. Mm-hmm. He's
no,
sub Jeb.
No exclamation yeah. point after Beto.
Sub Jeb is
Please,
such
Ollie.
A yeah. funny way to describe someone.
Yeah, he's a real sub Jeb up there.
I hope we can turn Jeb's name into like a byword for a lame political
Absolutely.
Candidate.
Oh, persists. We are.
He's already taken off. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the time this airs,
he's jebbing.
Yeah.
yeah.
We've already got
he's jebbing hard.
We've already got merch in the pipeline.
Yeah. Jebbing up there.
Yeah.
He really jebbed it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank
Please
you so
Jeb.
Much for joining us, listening to us talk.
You know what?
You know that's what
yeah.
podcasts
yeah.
are. Last time I gave the wrong email address, and then I had to get two email
you
addresses.
Biden.
But here's where we're sending you.
You while you were
I
jebbing.
Know. I
you totally Biden'd the email.
I Biden'd it. I biffed it. Bidened it. Worst
Jeb's Bidening around.
It's worstyeartips at gmail.com.
Is that better or worse than a bunch of Jebs Bidening around?
The rails have gone off of this. Yeah. Worstyeartips at gmail.com if you want to send us questions or thoughts for our upcoming show, which we're definitely doing.
It's true.
Once we get some sleep.
And remember, be a Jeb, not a Beto.
At least be a Jeb.
Be a Jeb.
No one wants to be sub
Jeb.
Please
be a Jeb.
Please be a Jeb. You don't need no Betos in here.